The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
When the days drew near for Jesus to be taken up, he set his face to go to Jerusalem, and he sent messengers ahead of him, and on their way they entered a village of the Samaritans to make ready for him. But they did not receive him, because his face was set toward Jerusalem. When his disciples, James and John, saw it, they said, "Lord, do you want us to command fire to come down from heaven and consume them?" But he turned and rebuked them. Then they went to another village. As they were going along the road, someone said to him, "I will follow you wherever you go." And Jesus said to him, "Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." To another he said, "Follow me." But he said, "Lord, first let me go and bury my father." But Jesus said to him, "Let the dead bury their own dead. But as for you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God." Another said, "I will follow you, Lord, but let me first say farewell to those at my home." Jesus said to him, "No one who puts a hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
In the name of God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen.
In 865 B.C., Elijah consecrated Elisha as his successor. Their stories, found in 1 Kings chapter 22 through 2 Kings 13, is about as long as the Gospel. And they're often referenced in the Gospels. As I shared on my internet posting, I've got like 18 hours of stuff up here that I'm going to try to trim down to like 1 minute. In the Gospels, the words and deeds of Jesus are frequently echoes of or shaped by the stories of Elijah and Elisha. I'll give you a couple examples. The disciples say to Jesus, "Would you like us to call down fire from heaven?" My secret desire is for Jesus to say, "Yes, that would be most excellent." He doesn't say that, he rebukes them. He rebukes them. The same Greek word used for casting out demons. Right? Why does he rebuke them? Because they're quoting scripture. What they're quoting is a story from 2 Kings chapter 1 about Elijah. Elijah was always at odds with the political leadership of his nation because he told them what God said and they didn't like it. So the king at one point sent out a detail of soldiers, a captain with his 50. And the captain of his 50 says to him, "Man of God, we've come to get you." And Elijah said, "If I'm a man of God, let fire come down from heaven and consume you." And it did. Yay. A second group comes. Same thing happens. The third group comes. This guy broke military protocol and he just said, "Please don't burn us up. Would you please come with us and just go? We don't want to get burned up. Would you just go?" And Elijah goes with him. But the disciples see this story and they interpret it as God's power at our disposal. Now, you've never heard about that in our day and time, have you? I would very much like to call fire down on all sorts of people, which is probably why God has not put me in charge, nor you. Nor you. In Luke chapter 3, verse 16, so six chapters earlier, John the Baptist announces that Jesus is coming and that he will baptize with fire and the Holy Spirit. In Luke chapter 12, just two chapters later, Jesus will say that he wishes that the earth was already kindled with the fire he's come to bring it. See, the apostles are totally correct. God does want to send fire from heaven. What they misunderstood is the purpose of the fire. It is to convert. It is to sanctify. It is to make people whole and new. That's what Jesus wanted to do. On the day in 865 BC that Elijah was called by Elisha, he was in a field plowing with 12 sets of oxen, 24. As we all know from the book of Revelation, that's the 12 apostles and the 12 patriarchs. It's a heck of a, I can't imagine what it's like to plow with 24 oxen. But as he's plowing, he has his hand on the plow. Jesus refers to this story when he says, those who put their hand on the plow, and like Elijah said, can I go back home and tell them I'm leaving? Because he's just been called to be a prophet like Elijah. And what Jesus says is, you're not worthy of the kingdom. Jesus is looking for total commitment. Now, I want you to listen real carefully to what I'm saying here, because I've probably only said it 1,000 times, but it goes against the grain of what we typically hear. Elijah and Elisha are saved by their faith. They are saved by the grace and mercy of God, 100%. But if you know anything about their lives, what you know is that they define faith much differently than you do. Elisha did not say to Elijah, you're saved, let's just kick back. And they went on a journey which cost them greatly, a journey of remarkable conflict and suffering, where they saw people die for the faith, where they were abused and maltreated. Elijah is portrayed as a man of incredible courage, and yet so prone to despair and giving up that he frequently says to God, I wish I was dead. Sadly, he's my patron saint. I know this dude. I know what it's like to stand with courage in front of a room and do brave things for the Lord. And I know what it's like to be moping around, complaining about things, and praying on a regular basis, can't I just die and go to heaven and everything's better? I understand this man. We are told in the reading that he ascends into heaven in a whirlwind. And guess what I didn't catch until the third read through? When the days drew near for Jesus to be taken up. To be taken up is the Greek translation of the Hebrew, to be taken up, Elijah. The entire story of Jesus has to be read, at least in part, through the monoculars of Elijah's story. The story of Jesus going to Jerusalem is the same story as the story of Elijah. He's being taken up into heaven. And as we all know, because we just celebrated Ascension Day, so it's fresh in our minds, how does this gospel end? Jesus is taken up into heaven. We also read that Jesus is sterizo. I looked it up. It has nothing to do with your face, which I was disappointed because I thought I'd have some interesting Greek thing to say about the face. I don't know where the translation, he said his face like flint. But what sterizo really means is just to be firmly committed. Jesus was 100% sold out on going to Jerusalem to face his destiny. And he makes it clear, if you want to follow him, what we just read here, it's going to cost you everything. So, now, this is why I hate the debate on faith and works. If I could pull out that little gizmo they do where you could forget things, I would say faith and works debate. And it would be just gone. It would just be gone. Because that faith and works debate so confuses people that we don't understand how to live our lives. Because salvation's about life. Salvation's about real life. And probably the best model for understanding salvation is a journey with Jesus to Jerusalem. And for those who need footnotes, read the end of the book of Revelation, where you end up in the New Jerusalem. I'm not making this up. That's really where we're going, not to heaven. The Bible never says you get to go to heaven. It says heaven's coming here. Only people of faith want to be on the journey. Only people who have been saved want to be on the journey. And only people who aren't saved remain with Jesus to the bitter end. And it's a long journey, and a half-hearted commitment will not work. It will not work. And in all honesty, that's why church attendance is down. As much as I like to blame myself, because I blame myself for everything, they didn't quit going to church because of me. I haven't had that much influence that the entire country stopped going to church because of me. It's because of a lack of commitment. And in the days ahead, some of you are going to bail out too. Perhaps I will. Because it's going to get harder. It's going to get harder. Only those with faith can endure the long journey, and it can't be a half-hearted commitment. And if you stop walking with Jesus, you will be left behind. And it's really a grammatical thing, which in the past would have been easy, but now I live in a world where even basic grammar doesn't make sense. But for those of you who still maintain some semblance of understanding, if you want to be with Jesus and Jesus is walking somewhere, you got to walk. And if you don't walk with Jesus, what's going to happen is Jesus is not going to be there, and he's going to become a dot in the distance, and then he's going to disappear. So first question to answer, I thought Jesus loved me. I thought Jesus forgave all my sins. Yes, he did. So any of you who are married, do you remember when you got married? Now, at the marriage ceremony, did any of you ever think it would be a good idea to say, I forgive you anything you've ever done wrong. I love you forever. I'll see you never. No. Like, if my daughters get married, if he did that to her, I might be tempted to relieve him of some blood. Right? You don't do that. Or a parent. Here's the baby, the newborn baby. We love you, the whole family. We love you. We don't care what you do wrong. We will love you forever. And then we're leaving now. Why is it when it comes to Jesus, people think that's possible? But anywhere else in life, it's like when you get a job, you're going to have to go to work, right? No, I want the job. You said you loved me. You thought I was a great candidate. I just want you to pay me, but I'm not coming to work. This is not about works. This is about logic. If I'm going to be with Jesus, wherever Jesus goes, I have to go, and he's going to Jerusalem. All right, and there's another verse in case you forgot. Pick up your cross and follow me. To which Peter said, no, saved by faith, Jesus, no need. We're cool. You die, we'll stay here. We don't have to go. Right? Remember when he said that? That's not on any of those billboards. It's never on the billboard. Jesus loves and forgives us all our sins, but this is not about love and forgiveness. It's about being with Jesus. It's the reason we want to be with Jesus. He loves us and forgives us. But if we don't want to be with Jesus, he also said, you can go. And it's why Paul, who apparently did not read St. Paul and doesn't know about salvation by faith alone, says anyone who does such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. If St. Paul had read Paul, he would know that what he would say, this list of anger, quarrel, dissension, factions, drunkenness, enmity, strife, blah, 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 blah. And if you do these things, it's okay. If you believe in Jesus, it's okay. Don't worry. But Paul didn't read Paul. Or maybe we misread Paul. Maybe Paul knows something we don't know. Now, the question it raises is, do I have to be perfect and sinless? Right? That's the nerve-wracking question. And the answer is, no. No, you don't have to be perfect and sinless. And you're not, so don't worry about it. Like, that's not even part of the discussion. You also don't have to be a polar bear. You just have to be you. You have to be you, just like Elijah, who sometimes is very brave and sometimes was a weenie who ran away. Like, many people forget it. Like, we all know about, he's up on the mountain, right? The still voice. Do you remember what the still voice asked him? What are you doing here? What are you doing here? Go. Go back to where you're supposed to be. What are you doing here? It's all right to mess up. Peter? He didn't say, no, I'm saved by faith, but he did say, I don't know who Jesus is. I don't know him. Never heard of him. Don't know him. Three times. So are you going to fall? Yeah, every day. Some of you fell on your way in here. Some of you are falling right now, even as we sit here, because you're distracted by other things. I'm sometimes falling on the altar, for crying out loud. Will you fail? Yeah. Yeah, I'm excellent at failing. In fact, I'm in the top 10 on some fail list. I'm extremely successful at failing. It's not about falling and failing either. If I'm walking with Jesus and I fall, and that's why we do the stations. Jesus said, yeah, falling's awful. Get back up. Now, I know it's not in the Bible, but the stations kind of tell us something about our journey, if not his. You're going to fall over and over again. They didn't just do it once, right? They keep having more stations where he's falling. Are we going to fail? Yeah, all the time. All the time. Like right after you leave here, you're going to fall and fail. But if you're walking with Jesus, it'll be all right. It's going to be all right. I have very good news. All you have to do to be with Jesus is be with Jesus. You don't have to think anything special or do anything special. You just walk with him. And he'll even go slow for you. Right? He's not running to Jerusalem. He'll go slow. If you feel like you can't keep up, he'll go slow. We are probably entering a phase where we're going to find out if we want to be with Jesus. I really think so. Or if we're going to want to call down fire from heaven. I kind of launched this sentence, which I don't even know how I got to, but I want to share it with y'all. One of the myths, the driving stories of our growing up is we're called to make the world a better place. Were you ever told that? All right, let me tell you what Jesus is going to say about that. You can't do that. It's impossible. It's not in you. When people try to make the world a better place, there's unforeseen consequences. Right? So don't worry about making the world a better place. Focus on repentance. Focus on repentance. Because when you try to make the world a better place, your first temptation is to say, well, let's call down fire on them and wipe them out. And left-wingers wanted to the right-wingers, right-wingers wanted to the left-wingers. And I can tell you what middle people, we would like to see them wipe each other out. Right? We're all about bringing fire down from heaven. What is Jesus about? Bringing down fire of sanctification and purification and transformation. Once we stop failing and stop falling, then we change the world. Because then we'll know what a better place would look like. Until then, we will come here and ask him to do it. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. We will call down God's Holy Spirit to make Jesus present in the world and let Jesus purify the world around us. And Jesus wants to do that. And we're just going to walk with him, okay? And if you see me falling, help me up. If I see you fall, I'll help you up. Amen.